In Bands and Afflictions, Chapter 114. Men of Israel, help! Oh, who is calling that? Just look. Suddenly, a wild uproar springs up in the temple at Jerusalem. It is exceedingly busy in the temple, because the day of Pentecost is soon at hand. Many Jews have come into the house of the Lord to bring their offerings. We see Jews from Judea, Galilee, and from places on the other side of Jordan. But we also see thousands of Jews and proselytes who have come there from foreign lands. Many Jews who live in Ephesus and the other cities of Asia Minor have come to Jerusalem and are now in the house of the Lord. For that is the place of concourse. Suddenly they look sharply at a Jewish man who is just entering. A false glow flames in their eyes. Their fists clench convulsively. They run toward him and roughly grab him. In the meantime, they yell with all their strength to the other Jews who also are in the temple. Men of Israel, help! This is a dangerous man, wherever he is. He speaks disrespectfully about the temple and the laws which Moses has given to us. Besides, he has polluted this holy place, for he has brought Greeks into the temple. It is quiet for a moment, but then they run together from all sides. This man is roughly dragged from the temple. And immediately the doors are closed. They are afraid that he again will enter the house of the Lord. They are furious. They will fix him, that temple desecrator. Oh, they beat this Jew in blind rage. Rough fist blows fall upon his head, chest, and back. They will kill him. Who is this man who is handled so roughly? Ah, you know, don't you? This man is Paul. As we have told you in the previous chapter, Paul arrived in Jerusalem. Some friends traveled with him, among whom was a certain Trophimus, an Ephesian, who was converted by God. Paul goes to the temple, but just at that time a few Jews from Asia Minor also are there. Undoubtedly, they are unbelieving Jews from Ephesus, and they recognize Paul. Ah, now they can at last vent their long pent-up rage against him. They accuse him falsely and call the other Jews to help them. They had seen Paul walking with Trophimus in the city, and now they think that Paul also had brought Trophimus into the temple. With all their might, they hit him with their fists. They will murder him, as Stephen was murdered years ago. Shall the faithful preacher miserably perish? Will he fall a victim of the blind hatred of these false Jews? No, God reigns. He watches over the life of his servant. Look over there. A band of Roman soldiers run double quick to the place of this violent tumult. A camp of Roman soldiers is nearby. The chief captain hears the report that Jerusalem is in an uproar. He immediately calls a centurion with his soldiers, and these warriors hasten to the temple. They arrive just on time. When the Jews see the Romans coming, they stop beating Paul. For they may not kill a person without the consent of the Romans. Immediately the Roman soldiers take Paul into their hands. The chief captain commands that Paul must be bound with two chains. He thinks that Paul is a dangerous criminal. Who is this man and what did he do? The chief captain asks. The clamor again bursts loose in full violence. Everyone yells and screams together. One says this, and another says something else. The chief captain cannot make anything of it, but he sees the furious glances of the Jews in their clenched fists. He can feel their unbridled hatred against this prisoner. All this fills the chief captain with concern. He is afraid that he will not be able to hold back the Jewish multitude. Therefore, he commands Paul to be taken to the castle. We would say, to the barracks. The Jews see this, and a look of great disappointment comes upon their rage-distorted faces. Will their prey still escape? Boisterously, they push forward and follow the Roman soldiers who are returning to the castle with their prisoner. Paul is walking in the center. They yell and cry, "Away with him!" They mean, "Kill him! Kill him!" The closer they come to the castle, the more furious they become. They know that if Paul is once inside, they will never again get him. They try to push through the Romans and pull Paul away. But the Roman soldiers are not afraid. They will not yield. These seasoned soldiers have gone through more skirmishes. They remain calm and composed in the midst of this hellish clamor. When the thronging becomes so intense that the possibility exists of Paul being trampled upon, they take him up and carry him up the castle stairs. Another few minutes, and the door will be shut behind Paul. "May I speak a few words to the people?" Paul asks kindly of the chief captain who is walking close to him. Paul says this in Greek. The Roman chief captain looks at Paul in bewilderment. "Can you speak Greek?" he asks in utmost astonishment. "Are you not that Egyptian murderer who caused an uproar not long ago?" A few months ago, there was an Egyptian who said that he would drive the Romans away. A few thousand Jews believed this and followed him. But it came to naught. The rebels were sadly defeated by the Roman soldiers. Now Lysias, for so was the name of the chief captain, thought Paul was this Egyptian rebel. He was afraid that a new uproar would break loose. Therefore he asked Paul, "Art not thou that Egyptian?" "Why, no," answers Paul. "I am a Jewish citizen from Tarsus. I ask you kindly, give me leave to speak to the people." The chief captain permits him. He would like to see what the outcome of that would be. The thronging has ceased, for the Jews remain standing downstairs upon the broad porch. Paul turns around and beckons with his hand. The Jews see that he wants to say something. Slowly, the wild screaming ceases, and it becomes breathlessly quiet. They have become inquisitive. Anxiously, they stretch their necks so that they can hear it all. Let us also listen. "Men, brethren, and fathers," so Paul begins. Do you hear that? He says to these unmerciful Jews, "Men, brethren, and fathers." Besides, he speaks to them in the Hebrew language. That is the common tongue which everyone can understand. It becomes still quieter. Paul then tells his life story. He tells that he, as a Jew, was born in Tarsus, how he was brought up and educated by Gamaliel. Gamaliel? Yes, they know him, or they have heard of him. He is known and respected throughout all Jerusalem. We do not know if Gamaliel were still alive. However it may be, this Jewish teacher was not yet forgotten. Paul next relates how he was converted on the way to Damascus. The Lord Jesus appeared to him on this way. He informs them that he was blinded by the heavenly light, but that he, by means of a certain Ananias, received his sight again. But he also tells that the Lord commanded him to proclaim the gospel to the Gentiles. Up to this point, the numerous crowd listens attentively and with the greatest quietness. However, when Paul speaks these last words, the hellish noise bursts loose by renewal. "Away with him," they shriek. "It is not fit that he should live." The words of Paul, and that he was sent to the Gentiles, makes them almost insane with rage. Oh, just look. With great indignation, some of them pull off their clothing and cast it heatedly upon the ground. Others throw handfuls of dirt into the air. They yell and roar as demoniacs. Lysias frightens from this violent outburst of hellish rage. He quickly takes Paul inside, and the heavy outside gate is speedily locked. The foolish Jews sneak away. Lysias looks at Paul with suspicious glances. He does not trust it. Undoubtedly, he did not understand the address of Paul because it was spoken in the Hebrew tongue. He thinks, this man must have done something bad, otherwise the Jews would not be so enraged at him. He wants to know what wrong Paul actually did. "Scourge him," he sternly commands a centurion, "for he must admit his crime. Scourge him until he talks." Then Lysias goes to his own room, and the centurion brings Paul into the inner court to execute the command of the chief captain. A few soldiers undress Paul and bind him. The lash is already taken to scourge him. "May you scourge a Roman citizen without a reason?" Paul asks the centurion calmly. The centurion frightens when he hears that Paul is a Roman, for without a hearing, a Roman may not even be bound. He hastens to Lysias and says, "Do you know that this man is a Roman? Be careful what you do." Lysias is also alarmed when he hears these words. He quickly goes to the inner court and asks Paul, "Art thou a Roman?" "Yes," rings Paul's answer. "I also am a Roman," Lysias relates, "but I bought my Roman citizenship for a large sum of money." "Not I," Paul says. "I was born a Roman citizen." Immediately, Lysias commands that Paul must be loosed from his bands. From now on, Paul is treated differently by Lysias. It was a great privilege for Paul to have the right of a Roman citizen. It spared him from many distresses. In the next chapter, we hope to tell you how Paul fared.